You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and join me on the other line. We are officially in off-season mode, Mr. Tony East. Tony, what are you doing with your time now?
Watching other teams, watching the playoffs. I watched the Ted Bundy, Zac Efron movie yesterday.
I saw your tweet yesterday. I saw that.
It was very good because, you know, everybody knows the Ted Bundy. This is such a terrible intro to a Pacers podcast.
Just go ahead, man.
It's not like documentary style. Like, everybody knows what Ted Bundy did. It's like, it's more like living among him and around him. It was cool. It was a good idea.
I think I forgot to mention, Tony is now a writer at Forbes.
Yeah, we're there. Three different shows now.
Yeah, is this your writer for Forbes, your Pacer writer for Forbes? What's your official title?
Yeah, the Pacers only, and I can write about players from Indiana. They have allowed me to do that. So
all right.
If I interview like Trey Lyles or something, you guys will be the first to know.
So if you haven't checked Tony out there, you can go do that. I'm sure if you follow this podcast, you can follow Tony on Twitter, you have, but you know. Just thought I'd mention it. People out there to check out Tony's stuff on Forbes. So we are in off-season mode. And so for today's podcast, we are going to do trade value. Essentially, we're going to go through each player that is currently not a free agent on the roster and do their trade value in our minds. And then we're going to end with maybe the perfect roster construct using the cap space Pacers have and current players. Does that kind of work?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're going to go. So the first player, should we start at like top or bottom players, I guess?
Well, I actually was typing a list right now and I included two picks.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, we can do trade value. So let's start with that. Let's do that. Let's start with the trade value of the first round pick. So they picked.
So I actually want to get ahead of this one.
Go ahead.
Because Adam, you can see the doc. I just did it in our schedule.
Oh, perfect.
So I think this is an important thing that we even talked about on the show ever, or has not been talked about in Pacers circles, but like often we talk about, if we trade for Giroux or Mike Conley or someone else who is available at some point this summer, trading a future first for that player. And I think it's imperative that that pick is not 2022 or 2023. I only typed 2022, Adam, if you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Because that's the draft where they get rid of one and done. One of those two is. So one of those two drafts is going to have two draft classes in one draft, which substantially increases the chance you get a star player in that draft, because they'll be like 15 really good players instead of the normal 5 to 10. And I think the Pacers, who need to stretch up to get some of those guys, absolutely cannot trade that pick.
So that's 2022 and 2023. We don't know which year yet.
We don't know which one, but I don't think they're going to trade either year. I don't think, you know.
So they have the ability, once they make the 2019 pick, to technically trade their 2019 pick and the
2021.
Pick.
Yep.
No, they can trade 2020 once they make the pick.
Right. That's true also.
Theoretically, right? So like if they were to trade for Mike Conley, Drew, whatever, in July,
they could use the player and 2020, yes.
Which they could theoretically set up the deal where they have the deal in place already and don't make the deal until that. Yeah. You have to wait a month if you make the pick, or you have to wait till like July 30th or something like that to actually trade your first round pick. You can't do it in the first so many weeks. But so they could do that. So really we're looking at the trade value of this year's pick, 2021, and possibly 2020 if they throw in.
Or like 2024 if they're...
Yeah.
Or so, you know,
something like that, yes.
But I think that amongst the picks, this is not amongst every player or anything. I think that is the highest valued pick they have because of that draft being so good.
So the question is, could they leverage that 2022, 2023 pick to be the only pick they give up?
Right. That's possible. Or like if you're getting a Beal or a, you know, that caliber at that point, then maybe you're like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. But if it's for, you know, a point guard that is probably paid or slightly overpaid even, and I think it's very clear I'm talking
and
he about.
Might, and a guy might not be on the team in that year comes
around. Yeah, exactly. Then you definitely do not want to give that one up as much as the other team might demand it. But that is a good point, Adam. They could use it as like a leverage chip of like, okay, we take out Holiday and Sabonis, but we give you this pick, like the pick.
Yeah. So we'll see what they use that. So let's start with the 2019 first round pick. It's number 18 overall. What is the trade value of that, you think?
If first round picks lose value the second they're taken, so it has more value now than it will in a month.
So what's the best player you could straight up trade, because they have cap space, they can straight up trade for anybody essentially. Who's the best player they could straight up trade with that pick for?
Can I kind of be depressing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that 20th pick was traded for Thad Young level player. And then the same summer, then that George Hill, Jeff Teague three-way trade, I believe the Jazz traded number 14 in that draft for George Hill.
So, I thought it was 12. I thought it ended up being.
It might have been 12. So you're not, you're getting, it's basically the value of like a pretty good but not elite starter.
What was Ricky Rubio? He was traded for a first round pick last year, too.
He got traded for a pick later in the 20s, I believe.
Right. Top 14 protected pick, I thought.
Yeah.
So, okay. So,
like Eric Bledsoe, remember he went for that weirdly protected first? But so he became really good. Like he got better on the Bucks, but like I think. It's like a solid, it's like a pretty good, but not like, whoa kind of trade, if that makes sense.
No, but it's a rotation player.
It is. Oh, no, it's a very good
rotation Basically, what player. You do is you flip the idea of having a future rotation player for a current rotation player, essentially.
Right, right.
And a guy who probably in 3 to 5 years, kind of like that, kind of like Ricky Rubio.
I'm trying to think of the perfect example of a player.
I mean, I think the Thad one's a good example of a trade. I think Thad, and then you take the Jeff T because it's kind of, probably Jeff T when he got traded.
Like when Gortat was in his prime, that kind of level of guy got traded for a first.
Yeah, I mean, Thad was traded in his prime at 28, wasn't he?
He was like 27.
Jeff Teague is traded in his prime, theoretically. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Teague was probably considered a better player than Thad, I think, somewhere when they were traded. That's why he got
one of the higher. He was just an all-star right before that.
Was he the year before he was an all-star?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was – I think it's kind of a – fake all-star bid, whatever, but yeah.
Yes, I think the level up, man, I'm trying to think of like the perfect player to think of this, and I have yet to come up with one.
I mean, I don't know who out there would you could get for that kind of pick, I guess.
I think that the talent level we're looking at is like Terrence Ross.
Yeah, that seems kind of fair.
I mean, he's a free agent, so obviously not specifically him, but like that talent level is what you could fetch for it without including anything else in it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a team maybe has a glut of players or is trying to. I mean, I guess maybe the right one
doesn't have their pick.
It's like Taurean Prince. Is that not enough? Is for Taurean Prince? Is that a good level player? Or is that too much?
Yeah, that's fine. But the trouble with him is he's expiring. But you could try that.
Expiring, right?
Yeah, it's expiring. Right, that's a bad thing. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, a lot of times when you have to do that, you'd have to pay the guy. Like, I think Rubio, they had to pay Rubio in the trade for him. They did the same thing with Teague. 1 year left, they had to pay him probably. They wanted to keep
right,
him.
Right.
Bad. They was already on a kind of overpaid deal. Makes sense. So
yes. Anyway, we have nailed down the value of that pick.
So yeah, I mean, it's a player of rotation value, but you take the risk that it could have been a guy like Caris LeVert who has a longer term value than Thad Young will ultimately.
But then you also have the hedge the other side where it's like
it could be CJ Leaf.
They've taken you. Yeah, you get Leaf and Holiday. So
I get it.
You could be giving up a guy that is not part of your future at all for a contributor, or you could be giving up an Aaron Holiday kind of guy. So it's like it's hard
because basically you're giving up the idea you're going to have a player for 7 years. It's usually how at least, I mean, you get them longer, but like minimum 7 years, you have
this a minimum, like if everything goes disastrous, of four, but
three, really.
Even if they take the qualifier off, if they suck, it's three,
yeah.
If they hate it here, even if they're good, it's four, maybe even five if they take the qualifying offer. So,
yeah, it's hard for rookies to turn down that first big contract.
It really is.
How do you turn down your 30 year?
They have to like hate it where they are,
yeah, Porzingis, essentially.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, and then every pick in the future, except for 20, whichever one it is. It's hard to say which draft it is too, which makes it hard to do this. But I think every pick in the future is just a little less valuable than the year before, besides that one that is amazing.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's backtrack and do less trade value. So let's just do them real fast. What's TJ Leaf's trade value?
TJ Leaf is like one of those fakey. I talked about this because Adam, you haven't done one yet, but I've been doing. The future of values of players, like on like McDermott, I was like, he could be in a trade. And same with TJ for like the end of their season recaps. And TJ, I described as a fake young player for a trade. Because thank you. I just saw what you did. TJ, I called like a fake young player because the Hawks, when they were trading Taurean Prince, they wanted a first round pick and a young player. So it's like, okay, here's TJ Leaf. Here's your young player, because I don't think his value is negative because he's on a rookie scale and like he kind of has shown some stuff, but it's definitely not positive. So I think he's just like for the receiving team to like sell the fans, like, look, we got a young guy.
Okay, I think we spent too much time. Can you get a like 45 through 60 second round pick for Leaf?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so that's basically his value. I mean, is that or is that
thrilling? You could get any. I might take that back. No, right, you might be able to get any second for him.
I don't think you can get anything in the top 50, maybe top 40.
Wow. Right.
Why would a team? I mean, in those late 30s, you just have to get some of those guys.
Just for a bite of the apple, someone will give up a second for him.
I guess people would pay for you pretty much buy
for 2 years of team control of a young guy. I think someone would do that.
Yeah, you probably throw in some money with it too.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not even the lowest guy. I'm surprised you went with him first.
No, I'm just going. We just had his list, and that's why I'm just doing it. That's the only reason. Sumner. What's Sumner's trade value?
A flyer.
Yeah, that's right. He's not even a pick.
Sumner and Alize both are just like
throw-ins, right?
You're close on a trade, and you're just like, does Sumner get us there, or does Alize Johnson get us right there?
We both believe next year neither guy is really going to play any.
Sumner could get like the holiday treatment as the fifth guard, but Alize probably not.
Yeah. Maybe. So, I mean, the thing with the second round picks is at some point they do end up playing because that's how they end up getting. I don't know. Like how do you know if second round pick is good ultimately? Like, he has to earn it. And so, like, maybe he might get some garbage minutes to prove himself. I mean,
I think Sumner might have like a smidgen of positive value just because remember, he was like a projected lottery pick pre injury in college.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He's shown some stuff. I don't think Alize went to JUCO and then Missouri State. Like, he probably doesn't, unless he shows some major NBA stuff like early in the season. I think it's pretty clear that Sumner has more value than him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been the comparison, but like, how did the word ultimately know Draymond Green have value? Like,
right.
Kind of like, played him minutes and played him in the right spots, and then they learned he was actually, because he was a second round pick as well. So,
that was one of those picks like the second the Warriors made it. Everyone's like, oh, how did Draymond Green fall? It's like, shut up. You all could have picked him.
Because he was overweight in college. I mean, that's the reason. He was.
I hate that, though. It's like a second round pick, and everyone's like, oh, rabble. How did he get this far? It's like, dude, 30 teams.
Yeah.
Drafted.
That's fair. Okay. So, I mean, probably those guys, neither of them get you a second round pick. They get you maybe some cash.
Someone might fetch you like a late second, but I don't think
that's doubt it.
But what's the point of doing that trade at that point anyway?
Yeah, they're more like throw-ins to a bigger trade, or they're cash potentially maybe.
Yeah.
Trading for cash.
You are correct.
All right. The last guy kind of.
The other non-positive trade value guy.
Doug McDermott.
Yes, he is. He is cash to make money work.
Yeah, you have his contract to basically piece together a trade if you need to figure out.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, the Celtics a while ago, they had basically, when they were trying to make the trade for Kyrie, they had too many like really big contracts and really small contracts. They didn't have enough of those like $6-7 million deals to piece together.
That's why people wanted to re-sign Smart. They're like, oh, we can re-sign Smart to like a middle deal in case we need it for a trade. I was like, you don't re-sign a guy to a deal for a trade.
But like the idea is you need some of those 12, 13, 10 millions to get piece together enough guys to get the right cap space numbers to fit.
So then you don't have to do a three-teamer and get all confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
So because Jay Crowder was their only guy. Like, I don't think they wanted to trade Jay Crowder in that move, but they had to.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were okay with it. I mean, now they aren't, but originally they were okay with it.
Yes.
They had a nice two-year run.
Yeah, no one's calling the Pacers to have McDermott.
I mean, maybe if somebody thinks they get him like really cheap, like just like
you can have him, but they're not giving. No one's giving away anything for him.
Maybe second round pick. I mean, that's all I can see.
No way.
You don't think second round pick? You think he makes too much money?
He's 27, so he has no like improvement value. So no, I think.
Yeah, but second round picks are so valueless in my opinion. I mean, how many of them actually turn into good players? Like what, one in
Draymond Green?
Like one every 5 years, right? I mean, I can't.
No, there's like one. There's like exactly one every year.
Okay, so one in 30. That's a 3% chance of it working. I think you probably do that for McDermott, maybe. I mean, it depends. I mean,
I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't either. But I mean, you might talk yourself into it easily. Like if you have, especially if you have like a late, like if you're at the 50th pick or whatever, you might talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
So okay,
that's actually interesting for people.
Yeah. All right. So now we
stop, Adam. We're gonna do a break first.
Oh yeah, let's do a break, and then we'll get to the players in the roster who actually have positive trade value. All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, so
that you on the show. I just said no so loud.
Okay, I bet you have the time. I'll be like, hey, I'll encourage you. I'll go, hey, Tony, take a break here, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, you're fine. we have a good relationship, working relationship now.
I think there's some objective ranking in this section, which could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we should start actually at the top of the positive trade value list.
Nick has the highest value done.
So what could you trade Vic straight up for? Could you, if you went, no, I mean, I just got a look from Rena.
Straight up?
She's listening to me talk, and she just went this
like the
disgusting look on her face. Like, could you trade him straight up for Beal?
No.
You think Beal is more tradable?
I think pre-injury, yes, but now, no.
Remember, Vic's expiring as well.
No, he's not. He's 2 more years.
No. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. My bad.
Beal has 3 more years, and Oladipo has 2 more years. I think before the injury, the answer was yes, and now the answer is no. Just because you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So Beal is what?
I was thinking like straight up, you could get any non-Zion pick in this draft for him.
Oh, could you trade him for Ja straight up?
Yes, you could. You totally could.
I mean, because you have to remember, his contract is pretty favorable for a guy of his caliber, too.
It totally is.
He's
underpaid. He's probably, well, even if like doomsday comes and he's just like what he was in OKC post injury, like then he's properly paid instead of overpaid or instead of underpaid. It's like,
okay, yeah, he was still better, even like half a year being hurt. You could clearly see it most of the year. He was still like better than OKC.
He was Donovan Mitchell, basically.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny because if you want to make comparisons, basically the Pacers and Jazz are in the exact same situation almost.
They are. I've been talking to Jazz people about like the summer. We have the exact same list of players that both teams want.
Merge the teams together, it would be a great team because like both teams, both guards need like another kind of number two, number one guard next to them to go with their great center, and then they'd be good or good center, I guess. They Jazz have a great center, Pacers have a good center.
Turner, three-two zone. Turner Gobert at the basket, and then Vic Mitchell and like Bojan on the perimeter. That's a team.
Okay. you didn't choose Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles on the – oh, man, maybe he would be better with the starters. And then Bojan leading the second
game. I don't know. Bojan had a better year than Joe Ingles.
He did.
Don't tell David. okay. So could you trade Vic for CJ McCollum for sure, right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that and CJ's probably like the 40th best player in the league. Beal's
40th. That's
right.
Fine.
Beal's probably the beginning of the 30 spectrum, and Beal is probably the end of the 30 spectrum, or yep. Almost the end of the 30 spectrum.
Yep, and Vic's probably in that 30 range right now. I mean, last year he was clearly higher than that, but
yeah, I mean, I think going into the year he was on the Kyrie level, which is like borderline top 20, but now I think you're right with the injury, you got to take that in. I mean, I think 2 months.
He could, like he's talking about, he's saying all the right things, so obviously I'm talking out my ass just because I'm using Vic's statements of like, I feel better and I know my body, but. It's like he could still be as good. I mean, some guys have recovered from this as good. Some guys have not. But we'll see.
Who are the guys who haven't? I've only on the
have not. Charles Barkley.
But those
Andre Roberson hasn't even played yet.
Did he do it to his knee? I thought he.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking that it happened to guys later in their career. Like Barkley and Parker were so late.
They were old. Yeah.
It was like they were so old and like young. Vic is still what? He turned 27.
Yep.
Like a week ago, happy birthday to Vic. I think his birthday's like early May at some point.
A big birthday podcast. I didn't even think about that.
But I think it's on May 4th. I remember right. Let me look it up real quick.
It was. You were correct.
And he turned 27. So that's why you think of a 27-year-old, that kind of injury you come back from. I don't know.
How are me and him only 3 years apart? I feel like it's way more than that.
I don't know. You were probably at school when he was there, weren't you?
I was. We did overlap for a year.
So that's why you're the same age or close to the same age. Okay. So then. What about like a multi-trade package you'd get for Vic? Like what could you get? 2 firsts and a starter probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you'd ever do that, but that is about the value I would think.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's never been traded. Let's put it this way. There's no way he gets traded.
No chance. 0% chance he gets traded. Less than zero.
The only way he gets traded is if they somehow sign like Anthony Davis, Andrew Butler, then you might think about it. No, I'm just spitballing at like, crazy scenarios. Okay. So Vic doesn't get traded.
The next three, and the only three guys we have left that aren't sign and trade guys, which we'll cut.
Could all be traded.
We'll do a break and talk about sign and trades after this. I'll lead, Adam. Don't worry.
they could all be traded, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
So Turner, what's his value?
Turner, Sabonis, Holiday are the three. So it's funny because I wonder if this is going to sound hard. This is kind of hard to explain. So I think Sabonis and Miles might have like the exact same trade value, but because their salaries are so far apart that they can fetch different groups of players because of like legal trades. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like you can get the same level of thing back, but the thing you're getting back for Sabonis makes $5 million and the thing you get back for Miles makes $15 million. Like that's the difference.
Okay. So what can you,
It's hard to say. It's hard to get straight up for them, man. That's hard.
Like, what pick could you get for Turner right now? A top 10 pick?
No, not top 10. Probably like the end of the lottery, like 8 to 14.
Okay, so barely top 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same could with Sabonis, same thing. I mean, they were both like 11th picks, right?
Yeah, I mean,
after their pick, and if not more.
I think in an ideal world, you'd want to trade one of Sabonis or Turner for a like small forward player that's of a same top 50, 60 level, but just a different position, so it lets you play with the starters better. So you can create a top an actual end of game five.
Yes, right?
That's the ideal scenario, but I don't know if any player fits that mold.
Do you think? I think the answer is they do have more value than this guy, but like Josh Richardson, they have more value than a guy like that.
Yeah, I don't think I would trade them for Josh
Richardson. I would not trade either of them for Josh Richardson either. I'm trying to think of a small forward.
There just aren't a ton that fit this mold because a small
forward. There are not. You're right.
There aren't a lot of like middling small forwards. It's either you're really good or you're like in the bottom. Right? No, I mean like the best.
You're right.
10 of the best 20 players are play somewhere between the 3 and the 4, 2, 3, 4. And then the rest are
hard. This is hard. I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think about. I mean, what if you put Turner and Sabonis together? Could you get a trick? Could you get up to somebody even better?
Ooh, that has to be for a center.
I've
never even thought of that, nor do I want to.
You have to be a team without a center. You don't have to get a center.
You have to get a center back, I mean.
I mean, could you do that to get Sabonis? I mean, to get Ben Simmons, sorry.
No, that's not enough for Ben
Simmons. Right, that's not enough for Ben Simmons.
Laugh, but that's not even close to enough.
So could you do both of that for Jrue Holiday, theoretically? If Davis is already at the door, and they trade Davis for all those LA pieces, theoretically, which is all a bunch of guards.
We're really trying to force this Jrue trade on here.
I'm just trying to figure it out. That's all.
Yes, that is that might be the value.
I think that's about where the value is.
Yeah, individually.
Individually, they're not. They really aren't valuable individually. They need to be pieced with a first round pick or Aaron Holiday.
They're prop. Well, Sabonis is underpaid, but he'll have to be paid next year.
No, I mean to get the value you want in return,
right?
Because you're giving up a guy who has still potential to be somewhere in the top 50, maybe even 30, for a player to help you now, and you can't get a good enough player to help you now without piecing another first round pick or a Holiday with them. I think. Yes.
I agree.
I mean, right? You can't. Can you trade Sabonis straight up for Conley? Would that work? Would they say
no?
Right?
Would they say yes to that? No chance.
Right. They wouldn't. You need a first round pick in there probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I'm just, that's what I'm looking at. But that's what we got to think about is, I mean, for Mike Conley, it feels like Aaron Holiday is the guy that you would trade for him straight up with maybe you could do that.
They would take that, but they want Holiday less than Sabonis.
Yeah, they probably want, because they have a center.
Every
already.
Grizzlies writer has written that they would want Holiday less than Sabonis.
Really? I thought because they already have a center, they wouldn't want Sabonis. But
who is there? No, Jaren Jackson played four.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. I just thought it makes sense.
I see what you're saying.
Point guard for point guard kind of thing.
Yes.
I guess it also depends on the lottery, right? If the Grizz end up with a number two pick or whatever, they're going to take John, then they definitely don't need a point guard.
That's true. So do you think Holiday's trade value is a tick below both of those guys? I do, but I understand if people think it's even.
I think they're a tick below.
I do too.
I think he's just slightly below, but I think he has the potential because I really like the way he ended the season to like come out the first couple of months, have a really good start, and then if they can make a move, like at the traded line or something, he could be traded in for more value than he could got for Sabonis or Turner.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I do ultimately wonder, because this happened with Turner, where they had Turner and George, but they never really wanted to pull the trigger on trading Turner for anybody to help George out. And they lost Paul George, but maybe they feel they have to do that because they have Oladipo and Turner, and their window is kind of right now.
Yeah.
At some point is the thought. Because they, like I said, they never did it because I think they always thought George had one foot out the door from the minute they drafted Turner. But now I think it's a pretty good chance Oladipo resigns, just the way it seems like he likes the team and everything. Like, I don't see him like bolting to LA or whatever. I mean, he obviously could, but like right now, it feels like if you can put the best team around him for next season, if he's at the level he was 2 years ago, you have to try to do that.
I agree.
Unless Holiday becomes like, I mean, we're talking like the next great point guard next year, all of a sudden. I don't think we'll see. I think we'll see improvement for sure. I think we'll see a guy who could definitely play in rotation, maybe be a starting point guard someday, but I'm not sure we'll see like Chris Paul of a point guard.
No way. Absolutely not. Chris Paul might be a top 5 point guard of all time.
I know. That's the first thing that came to my head, to my mind, honestly. I'm trying to think of a Don Mitchell level, I guess. I mean, that's what I mean. Don Mitchell level.
Yes.
That's probably the right comparison.
I can live with that.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't Donovan Mitchell, he's never been traded.
You want to hear a crazy Aaron stat? Oh, never mind. I take it back.
Oh, okay.
I almost had a crazy Aaron stat, but I didn't.
You got me really excited, Tony.
He's very similar in age to Aaron Gordon, which is, Aaron Gordon was so young when he went pro, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, but is and Aaron Gordon's pretty good. Could you trade Holiday straight up for Aaron Gordon?
The Magic do need a point guard very badly.
They need lots of guards.
I don't think they would accept that, but that's close, probably.
Right? Would you, so, if you could...
There's your throw-in Alize trade right there.
Yeah. So, okay. This is just a thought. Could you theoretically make a move? Because you could get... You'd throw Holiday, Leaf, and like a second for Gordon, and then you trade Sabonis in a first for Conley, and that's your new team.
Bang. That would be fun.
It's an interesting team, right? Think about that. You got Gordon playing the four. You got Conley playing the one. You got to re-sign Bojan then.
Maybe another summer of Aaron Gordon talk. I actually am more on board with it this summer than I was last summer.
But that, if you do that, that's all your cap space.
It is all of it. 100%.
Unless you give up McDermott somewhere in there.
And then you have like $4 million if you give up McDermott.
Well, no. If you have McDermott and Sabonis, it's $11 million you save, roughly, right?
Yeah, and then you take in...
16 for Gordon.
And... you're taking in 48 and sending out like 12.
And your cap space is 48 million, so you have about 12 million.
7 million, you're right, okay.
Or do you have, isn't the cap space 48 or is it like 43?
43.
Okay, so you have like 7. So you have enough to get, use your, to get a mid-level exception.
Level player.
Small forward, basically, to play.
You need lots of things.
maybe you can convince that is in like a 3-year, $24 million deal to come back.
That would be ideal.
And then that's your team. You play Gordon the 3 then?
No, God, no. That's the problem with him now.
No. I don't know. Okay, that's all right. We diverged too much.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a quick break, and then after, yeah, we'll do that. Let's do that. All right, welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, Tony, you're leading this segment. What sign and trade stuff. Go ahead.
Okay, so every free agent to be, which is a lot of guys, Thad Young, Darren Collison, Bogdanovich, Corey Joseph, Tyreke Evans, Kylo Quinn and Wesley Matthews. I believe I got everybody. In theory, any to-be free agent can be signed and traded. However, there are lots of checkboxes you have to have for sign and trades to be possible. One is that the receiving team of the player in the sign and trade cannot sign the player to the contract they are getting on their own, right? Like, okay, if they could just sign the guy, they would do it. Two is that the player being traded has to want to go to the team or else he just won't sign the deal to be traded. And three, it has to be worth it for the team signing the guy. And four, the contract has to not be so bad that the team receiving him thinks it's worth it to do it. So pretty much every party has to be on board with everything for this to happen. It's very hard and rare that it makes sense. However, there are a few situations. For example, a player being traded to his hometown. Thaddeus Young was born in New Orleans and grew up in Memphis. Hey, there's two guys on those teams that we would want. So, for example, he might agree to that, and then they could use his bird rights to make his contract legal for a sign and trade or something like that. Those are examples where it does make sense. However, it's very hard to find one for, like, Kojo Collison-level guys because no one, like, needs that guy who also can't afford them, if that makes sense.
I just want to put it out there. I don't understand why Thad would want to go home to both those teams that are going to be terrible.
To go home?
Both teams are terrible. I mean, does he not want to win? I mean, he's like, he probably wants to win.
You never know. You never know what guys want to do. That's why guys go to LA not to win, to go to LA.
Yeah, but I don't know. He seems like he wants to win, but that's just me. Okay.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, there is a reason why he would agree to the move should they, like, approach him about it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this working only with Bojan in a sense if a team wants to overpay him.
Right? Yeah, that too, because they could use their bird rights and send Bojan out for something if he wanted to get a big payday too.
That's what I was thinking. That seems like the best. That seems like the most likely scenario of all this happening. I don't think any of it happens, but that seems the most likely.
That is a good one. I never have thought about that.
Like, I mean, okay, so I'm going to bring back the Magic again. Just
that isn't the worst fit ever.
Well, no. So, like, the Magic have Terrence Ross, who's a free agent, but they also could sign and trade him theoretically, and Aaron Gordon. You could piece them together with some picks, Bojan, whatever, to get both those guys, send out the money, bring them back in, and then still have enough money to trade for Conley. And that's how you fill out your top five, theoretically.
That would be something.
Right? I mean, think about it, right? If they could bring in Terrence Ross at the 3, Gordon at the 5, Conley at the 1, there's your starting lineup with Turner. And maybe somehow you held on to Sabonis miraculously.
Or Bojan wants to go to Orlando for the money. Maybe that would work out.
I mean, I think Bojan wants to go where the money is. I mean, I would just.
I think Bojan wants continuity and he likes tough coaching because he said those things.
Well, so here's my thing. He's never really been paid, like paid. And so the problem at some point you look at it in your basketball player and what is your ultimate goal. I mean, his might be to win, and he might realize he's going to, you know, he's probably the best player in his country, and that might be able to, you know, sponsorships, whatever. I don't know if he has all kinds of that kind of stuff. So he might be fine and not worried about, you know, just between 20 million and 15, it's not a big deal. He'd make it up on the offseason if he's still a good player, but like, he's never really gotten the big contract. I think that's something that is going to be hard for him to like turn down if he can get someone's offering 4 for $80 essentially.
Right.
It's just hard. I mean, it's hard.
Man, to someone offers him 4 for $80, he can take.
No, it's hard. I mean, even if the Patriots offer him 4 for $60, it's just hard to turn down $20 million. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For, I mean, the guy, right? I mean, really, he's
30. 29. Right.
This is going to be his last big contract, probably.
It is, totally.
I mean, unless, you know, he goes up and plays in East Europe and makes a bunch of money doing stuff, but there isn't some kind of money there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a worry with him, because I think he genuinely, when he says he wants hard coaching and to return, but at some point it's just hard to say no to that much money. It's just, you just like, what do you, right. You just can't, like, it's, I don't know. It's human nature. Like, you just can't say no to 20 members, 15 million.
So Wes Matthews and Kyle O'Quinn just like cannot, like they can technically be signed and traded, but it makes just no sense. Like none.
Yeah.
For them, for anybody. Reek. So another thing about sign and trades is the contract going out from the Pacers has to be 3 years in length, but only the first year has to be guaranteed, which means you could get funky and have like two non-guaranteed years.
But no player's going to agree to that kind of deal.
Well, that's, I talked about my Collison fake thing in the Conley sign and trade, right? With you.
Yeah.
So if they just throw him like a crazy high first year deal, that he would never get a 1 year deal that high anyway, but that's the only way that would ever, like that only way that loophole makes any sense.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. I don't see that.
Really. Tyreek's from Memphis too. Like, just be like, okay, here's all your non-bird, go there. But I don't think that would happen either.
Yeah, I just don't see. I wouldn't involve the player. I mean, you're right. You have to give him so much more money, and then comes the point: where does the team really want to pay a guy that much money?
Yeah, then you have to add another asset too.
Collison is an interesting case because he is a veteran guy who you could talk yourself into really adding value, which is like as a veteran leadership for a year, especially on a young team like Memphis. But you know, almost like the JJ Redick role for. Philadelphia years ago, you could talk yourself into that because Redick was way overpaid 2 years ago, but they knew they had all the space. They wanted to bring him in, and they wanted to like have a veteran guy to kind of show the young rookies how to like be a professional, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where maybe it makes sense. Memphis might make sense if they have Ja Morant. Let's say they draft him, and they have Jaren Jackson. They want to bring in a veteran, but then they have Conley, who they're also paying them better off keeping him because he's a better veteran point guard. So I don't know. That's also the problem here.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah. What other signature players? So Kojo's, we didn't mention him yet, right? That's the last one.
We have not mentioned him.
That's yet. The last one we didn't mention. So anything with him we could do?
No.
Right? No.
No. He's probably the most. This is a good segment because I want it to be hard. Like, I want everyone listening to understand that sign and trades are hard. You can't just be like, I got sign and trade for some guy. It's hard. There has to be a lot of agreement and a lot of reasons it makes sense.
Yeah. So on the flip side of sign and trade, I think when you bring in a player, so a guy like free agents, so Jimmy Butler or Kyrie, for example.
No, the Pacers won't be signing and trading for anybody because they could, if anyone wants to come here, they could just sign here.
No, they could if their only chip is that they will offer them the fifth year that other teams won't be willing to do. That'd be the difference. So, like,
you can't sign and trade a 5 year deal.
You can't?
That. Yeah.
Okay. So, you can't sign and trade Jimmy Butler's bird rights?
Yes, correct. Because they don't want guys to do that, to just get the fifth year and go where they want. They don't want that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I have that. Yeah. That is, okay.
And then,
that's what Carmelo did,
you know, because then a player could literally go wherever, and they're like, no.
That's what Carmelo did, basically.
No, he agreed to his deal before he got traded. Remember, that was in the old extend and trade days.
I know, but it basically he was like, I want the contract and I want to be traded.
Yes, he was smart to do it the way he did it.
Well, maybe.
Why was he not?
Well, if he didn't sign the extension, he might have been able to be a free agent and join the Heat in 2010, but that's a whole other scenario.
He wanted to be on the Knicks.
I know, but he could have joined. I know. He chose the path, but he maybe should have chosen the path of joining the Bosh Wade. The
flexibility path, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that would have got him a ring and maybe, you know, changed his trajectory of like Carmelo's his whole path.
Yeah, the Rockets lost. Melo's not getting a ring this year. What a bummer.
What a bummer. Okay, so let's end this with one thing. So we were. Ideal roster scenario, or not ideal, but a roster scenario that you can piece together. Give me what it is.
Whoa, that's on the spot.
I mean, do you want me to do mine real quick while you think of one?
I don't want to do one. I'll let you do yours, though.
Well, remember, we were talking about, we teased at the beginning. We said
I have yet to discover my ideal.
No, maybe not an ideal. Just give me a roster construction that could work. I don't know. Give me, I know you have some that you've thought about. You don't have to be a perfect one.
Yeah, mine is trading for Conley in a sign and trade, amazingly.
Okay.
Where you give Collison a fat first year deal with non-guaranteed year 2 and 3. So Memphis wants to do it.
So like a 3 year 60 to Collison?
No. I'm talking like you use his full early bird and the first year is like 18.5 million. So stupid high. And then the next 2 years are about that, but they're not guaranteed. So Memphis would never pay them. So Collison takes the deal because he gets 18.5 million over a year and can be a free agent again. And then Memphis gets the money they need for Conley, and the Pacers get to send out enough money that they can stay over the cap and keep the bird rights of Thad and Bojan on the books. So you'd have to send out a lot of assets to make them keep DC on that high of a deal. So it'd probably be like DC, Sabonis, a first, and then something else.
Holiday?
Yeah, I don't know.
so then you're talking about getting all your assets then
you keep Thad, Bojan, and Conley, and you're over the cap, so you have your full mid-level exception to go out and get like a Rudy Gay or a Terrence Ross.
Okay, so essentially what you've been able to do is essentially just replace your point guard in the starting lineup with Mike Conley.
Yes, and you could keep Kojo if you wanted, and you could add a quality player with that mid-level.
And that's how you get to 7 players, essentially.
That's how you get 8 players.
Oh, because McDermott, too.
Yeah. No. Starting 5 plus the mid-level guy. McDermott is. Oops. Sorry.
I mean, look at the Warriors and Rockets. You only need 7 guys.
Yeah.
That's
he went 12 deep last night, though.
Yeah, but like they have like 6 legitimate players. The rest of
them, they all played like 4 minutes.
I mean, I think without KD, they have literally 6 guys, without KD and Boogie.
It was so weird. They're
Also can do is maybe hope on getting a guy like a Wes Matthews later. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. The bio market. And they always cut like a guy, you know,
season.
To get that spot. Like Ed, you got the,
promote. You know, through the, what's the rule?
Damian Wilkins, something like that.
The guy gets bought out.
Ben Moore. Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ways.
Yeah. So I kind of went through my idea already, but I think it'd be really cool if they could figure out how to piece together somehow Aaron Gordon, Terrence Ross, and Mike Conley. Now, it would involve probably getting rid of, maybe if you could find a way to get Fab in like a 3 or 24 deal, that you could do all that and send out, if you lose Bojan essentially, you lose Collison, you would lose Kojo, you would lose Sabonis and probably Holiday. But you could, but then you'd have this at least different team, and I don't know if it would be any better, but you'd have a different team with maybe Thad on the bench as your 6th guy, and then you can use mid-level, get your 7th guy, and you have, you know, I don't know. That's a scenario. The problem is, with all this, it becomes like you give up too many moving parts when you want to be able to just kind of flip one for one so you can kind of keep the same continuity but bring in somebody new that adds value, right? That's really the goal at the end of it.
Yeah, because Pritchard does love his continuity, but you can't overdo it at the expense of not getting better.
Well, if you could figure out how to not give up Holiday and a Mike Conley, the way you're talking about giving up Holiday in that trade, and you could figure that out. Or like if you could really, I mean, that's where you leverage your 2023 pick and you say, I'll give you our 2023 pick and this year first round pick and Collison for Mike Conley. And maybe then you really keep the same roster essentially from last year and you add Mike Conley in.
Yeah.
And that would be really ideal because then all of a sudden you're looking at, I mean, maybe you throw McDermott into that too as cap filler to get a little more space. But then you're looking at bringing back everybody basically by putting in Conley into that role.
Yeah, if you get rid of McDermott, you can keep Kojo in my scenario too.
Yeah, so basically you have the same roster, except you add Conley and you upgrade from Collison to Conley, which is like
worlds different.
Or yes, something like that.
I'm glad we have the same guys on the mind.
Yeah, I mean that's. I do think ultimately continuity is probably the best way to go if you can figure out how to upgrade one player significantly. That's kind of one the best move.
Two, yeah.
Because you want the continuity because that's the way these teams win. I mean, even looking at like the Raptors, for example, really they really basically kept the same roster and then upgraded from DeRozan to Kawhi Leonard. That's basically all they did if you look at it. And they had obviously improvements from Pascal and they had all, but they kept basically the same roster together from last year, but upgraded their second best player to one of the best players in the league, like top three. And that's how they're all of a sudden competing for a championship or they can beat the Sixers. I mean, you don't want to get too much moving parts because then everybody's good. Then you have the Celtics problem where everybody could hate each other and they have to blow it up at the end of this year, essentially.
Yeah.
So you got to find the right balance.
Yep. I agree.
So
that was a good ending.
I think that was a good ending. All right. So Tony, what are you writing this week for Forbes?
Doing stuff on sign and trades. Might be interviewing someone. TBD. That's it. I'm going to write about the segment we just did basically.
Oh, nice. I'm glad I gave you some good fodder.
You did. What about you? Are you going to write any Pacer stuff ever again?
Tony, stop asking this podcast, please. Please embarrass me on the podcast.
Do one thing so we can promote it like crazy.
Maybe I'll write something for you. You can just publish for me.
Nothing's more fun than doing your full time job as on the side for fun.
I know. I was going to preview this week. So we are doing, Tony did the two player previews of TJ Leaf and Doug McDermott last week. You can check those out. This week we are going to bring you the centers, I believe, correct?
Yes.
So obviously that we're going to bring you Sabonis on
Wednesday
and Miles Turner on Friday. We're going to be doing those through basically the end of June until about draft time. The draft lottery is on Tuesday. And so on Wednesday's show, Tony will talk about Sabonis and do a little bit draft lottery, depending on what happens. Something could happen crazy and that could affect the Pacers. Like if, you know, the Grizzlies pick shoots up into the top three, that could affect if they want to trade.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, the Bulls, the Knicks, a lot of teams could affect the Pacers in cursory ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think one time I did the whole scenario where if the Knicks didn't get a top three pick, the Pacers could figure out a way to somehow get Anthony Davis by having the best offer available, essentially.
I never have agreed with that ever.
I know you never have, but it's just
that is around. Sure.
That is floating out there in the atmosphere somewhere. But still, yeah, we're going to do those. We're going to keep doing those throughout the rest of the playoffs. We might hit on some of the playoff stuff depending on what happens in the games. We decided not to talk about Rockets Warriors, even though we're recording this. So the recording is on Saturday, the 11th. Rockets Warriors game six was last night. But we might do some NBA playoff talk if something interesting happens we really are passionate about talking about. If not, we'll lead this up all the way up to the draft. And then after that, we'll probably do draft free agency, and we'll be in July, and that will be the most fun time for this podcast.
Because is George Hill the only former Pacer still playing? Celtics out. Portland doesn't have any.
Denver doesn't have any.
Warriors definitely don't have any.
Milwaukee doesn't have any.
Milwaukee has George Hill.
George Hill, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one.
Does Toronto? No. Philly? No. Yeah. Doesn't have
any. Yeah. George Hill, go Bucks.
Yeah, go Indiana born bred. Broad Ripple, IUPOI, Indiana Pacer, go George Bucks. Hill.
I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but maybe I'm not.
I mean, maybe bottom roster guy. Yeah. As always, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at TEastNBA. You can follow me at FriedmanAdam5. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.